Story 8, Harry Potter and the Jack-O-Lantern. You've been asking for more stories, so here they are. Professor Dumbledore and Ron sat across a scarred wooden table from Hermione and Harry in the Whistle and Flute. Each sat with a mug of warm, spiced apple cider, sipping to keep out the creeping chill that hung in the air. Small pumpkins, skeletons, and glowing orange lights were strewn about the room. In the center of each table sat a small witch's hat with a jack-o'-lantern perched atop.
"So," said Dumbledore, "how was class today, everyone?"
"It was fine," said Harry. "Just fun things. Changing colors, making things light up, basically everything in preparation for the holiday." The other three nodded.
"I do so love holidays," said Dumbledore.
As he raised his cup to his lips for another sip, a figure wearing a dark cloak and hood bustled past them, bumping into them and throwing something down on their table with a soft smack before hurrying out the door. They looked after him for a moment, then turned to look at what he had dropped. It was an issue of Playgirl magazine. Dumbledore's eyes lit up with joy as he snatched the magazine from the table, bumping the little hat.
"This is fantastic," he said.
He turned the magazine sideways and opened it to the centerfold. As it fell open, a thin, folded piece of paper fluttered out, landing in his lap. He looked at the magazine a second more before putting it down and grabbing and unfolding the paper.
"What is it?" said Hermione.
"It's a letter," said Dumbledore. "It says, 'In darkened halls deep below, a present waits for you to go, beneath the new that has no use, where you can go to squirt your juice.'"
"That's strange. Darkened halls below where?" said Ron.
"Hogwarts, obviously. At least that's my guess," said Hermione.
"We should ask Hagrid. He knows a lot about the secrets of Hogwarts," said Harry. Everyone nodded in agreement. They finished their drinks. Dumbledore tossed a few coins on the table. Then they stood up and walked out into the frosting evening air. As they approached Hagrid's hut, they heard a methodical chop-thwop, chop-thwop. When they rounded the bend, they could see his door hanging open, a shovel pushing through and tossing something into the grass, then pulling back in. Drawing nearer still, an unmistakable odor drifted about their nostrils.
"Hagrid, I say, what's going on here?" said Dumbledore.
"Oh, you'll have to excuse me, Professor. Oi had a centaur visitin' earlier, and I'm afraid he left quite a mess."
Hagrid slung out another shovel full of horse dung, careful to avoid the visitors. After pausing a moment, he said,
"I don't suppose you can come inside, what with this mess. Just a moment and I'll be right out."
Hagrid walked outside, placing each foot with care. Each step was heralded by a faint squish and another cloud of odor.
"Now, what can I do for you, Professor?"
"I received a letter today," said Dumbledore, taking the note from inside his robe. "I was hoping you'd take a look at it and tell me what you think."
"Sure thing, sure," said Hagrid, brushing some bits of dried horse dung from his hands.
He took the letter from Dumbledore and smoothed it open. After reading it, he said,
"This is talking about some old tunnels under Hogwarts for sure."
"Where do you think the entrance to these tunnels is?" said Dumbledore.
Hagrid rubbed a finger across his beard.
"Through bathroom number 3, I'd say."
"What's bathroom number 3? Said Hermione.
"A while ago, Hogwarts decided to install a new updated bathroom. They got most of the parts installed, but when they tried to do the plumbing, they realized it wouldn't work. There just wasn't any room for it. So there bathroom number 3 sits, tucked away, new and unused," said Hagrid.
"That sounds about right to me," said Dumbledore.
"The entrance to the tunnels must have been created when they were trying to get the plumbing sorted out," said Hagrid.
"So we're going down into the tunnels then," said Ron.
"I think we must," said Dumbledore. "But first, let me study some charts. You three go back to your house and I'll get you when I'm ready." The common room of House Gryffindor was quiet. Most students were already in their bedrooms, winding down for the night. Hermione separated off towards her room, and Ron and Harry climbed the stairs towards theirs. As they got to the landing and began walking down the hall, Ron began to shake.
"Are you all right?" said Harry.
"I think so," said Ron.
His teeth rattled as his shaking grew more intense. He leaned back against the wall and slid down. His body started spasming and he started thrusting his hips again and again, moaning. Finally, with a mighty thrust, he stopped, and a small stain spread across the front of his pants. After a moment, he pushed himself back up the wall and stood leaning against it.
"My, that felt good," he said. "Now I really need to change my pants."
"What happened?" said Harry.
"Oh, I don't know," said Ron, "but I wouldn't mind it happening again."
The two walked the rest of the way down the hall and opened the door to their room. There, sitting on Ron's bed, was Ginny Weasley. In one hand, she was holding a small Ron voodoo doll. The other hand disappeared into her pants. She turned to look at Ron and Harry and smiled.
"Oh, come on," said Harry.
"Why are we going to the second bathroom first?" said Ron.
"Because I heard Snape was there, and I want to ask him if he can make us a special potion for protection before we go down into the tunnels," said Dumbledore.
Professor Dumbledore, Ron, Hermione, and Harry walked into the second bathroom. It was empty and quiet.
"Snape!" called out Dumbledore.
"What? I'm going to the bathroom," said Snape.
They followed the sound to one of the stalls.
"Snape, we need a favor," said Dumbledore.
"What is it?" said Snape.
"We need to go into some tunnels beneath bathroom number 3, and I was wondering if you could make a special potion of protection for us before we go."
"I'm going to be here for a while."
A full-bodied fart reverberated off the walls.
"The only potion I can make right now is one that protects against fairies."
"Oh, well, I don't think we really need that," said Dumbledore, fidgeting a bit.
"Don't worry, Professor. Not that kind of fairy," said Snape.
"Still, just to be on the safe side, I think we'll pass. Thanks anyhow," said Dumbledore.
"You're welcome," said Snape.
Another fart trumpeted from the stall. The group stood within dusty bathroom number 3. Urinals perched on the walls. Sinks with modern lines stood in a row. The floor was covered with a fine layer of disuse.
"What now?" said Ron.
"Look," said Harry, "footprints in the dust."
The footprints led first to a small porcelain protrusion sticking out of the wall, then to one of the urinals, then stopped. The group followed the prints to the protrusion. It was a small bowl with a small ridge down the center, dividing the bowl into 2 shallow cups.
"What are we supposed to do with that?" said Hermione.
Harry reached out and pressed first in, then down on the bowl. Nothing happened. He put fingers into both of the cups and tried pushing again. Still nothing.
"I have an idea," said Dumbledore.
He lifted his robe high and carefully placed his scrotum in the bowl. There was a click and a rumble as the marked urinal pulled back into the wall. Dumbledore lowered his robe and smiled.
"That's using your balls," said Ron.
They stepped through the newly opened portal into the tunnel beyond. Lit torches hung along the walls, and many sets of feet had disturbed the dust of the floor. The tunnel turned to the right, so they turned and set off down it. Following the tunnels, they came to a door that looked recently used and decided to investigate. Harry slowly pushed it open while Dumbledore peeked in. After a moment, he motioned to Harry, who opened the door the rest of the way, and they all stepped into the room. A large pile of pillows was against one wall. Laying in the pillows was Professor Flitwick, wearing nothing but pants. Laying on either side of Flitwick were panting dogs. A jar of peanut butter rolled on its side not far off, the lid missing.
"Oh, hello,"
said Flitwick. He blushed.
"Come along, you three. Those look like girl dogs. There's nothing for us here," said Dumbledore with a scowl.
He turned and walked out, with Ron and Harry following. Hermione paused, looking from the dogs to Flitwick to the jar of peanut butter, humming to herself, then followed along too. The group was approaching another door that looked like it had been used recently. The dust told of feet scuffing busily in front of it.
"Oh, excuse me," said Dumbledore. "I have to nip off to the bathroom for a moment. You three go ahead and I'll catch up."
Dumbledore turned and hurried back down the tunnel, disappearing around a curve. Harry shrugged and opened the door, and the three walked into the room. The room was empty, save for a rabbit sitting by the far wall, twitching its nose. The three looked around the room for any other clues, but footprints led right up to the rabbit.
"A rabbit," said Ron.
"That's right," said the rabbit.
Everyone started and looked at the rabbit.
"A talking rabbit," said Hermione.
"Right again," said the rabbit.
"How do we get past you?" said Harry, pointing at the solid wall behind the rabbit.
"To do that, you must answer a question," said the rabbit.
The rabbit raised its paws and a small bicycle tire and cloth appeared in them. It started rubbing the metal wheel of the tire with the cloth.
"What am I doing?"
"That's the question," said Harry.
"Yes, what am I doing?" said the rabbit.
"Cleaning," said Hermione.
"Not what I'm looking for," said the rabbit.
"Polishing," said Ron.
"Close, but still not quite."
Dumbledore stepped back into the room, adjusting his robe.
"A rim job," he said.
"Right you are," said the rabbit.
The wheel and cloth vanished and the wall behind the rabbit disappeared, opening onto another room where vast pumpkins sat. They approached the pumpkin carefully and found a jack-o'-lantern face had been etched into it, not so deeply as to cut all the way through the rind, just etched into the surface.
"Let's take this back to where we can study it more fully," said Dumbledore, walking around it and prodding it with a toe.
They all got on one side and started to push, but it was weighted strangely and didn't want to roll, instead just sliding forward. They pushed it all the way back to the common room of House Gryffindor. They settled the jack-o'-lantern in front of one of the couches in the common room of House Gryffindor, then stood back to look at it. Dumbledore walked around it again, then stood with the group. After a moment, the jack-o'-lantern started to shake and everyone tensed. The top exploded and Filch stood up wearing nothing but gobbets of pumpkin and pumpkin seeds.
"Ta-da!" he said.
Dumbledore clapped his hands in delight. Untold Tales of Harry Potter. The email address is untoldharrypotter@gmail.com. The website is untoldharrypotter.blogspot.com. You can subscribe to the show there. Thanks for listening, and happy Halloween.